fast note before we get started today. Please know this podcast may contain content that may be disturbing to some listeners. All opinions expressed are that of the individual and are not meant as a substitute for professional mental health or medical advice. We advise reading the show notes for more detailed description before you listen to this podcast. Remember, mental health matters. Please take good care of yourself. Hello and welcome. It's Tammy Lawrence, Symbolisti here. Thank you for joining us for the I'm Still Here, Messages from the Other Side podcast. Each week, we'll be talking to individuals who believe that they have had messages from the other side. So interesting to hear as we all share our time together, still here. Hello, everyone. Today, we're speaking with Fiona Newman. Fiona is an Irish mystic, psychic medium, spiritual counselor. She is the owner of the Healing House located in Peterborough, Ontario, who is currently offering her services online due to COVID. She offers holistic services and training normally throughout Canada and internationally. Hello, Fiona.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good.
Me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming. I understand you had a little bit of a fun drive to get back to your house today.
Oh, yeah. The roads weren't the best. Good old Canadian snowy, slushy days.
That's right. Exactly. And Peterborough got hit a little harder than Cambridge. So we're recording this in December, although it will air in the new year. And yeah, so far today, anyhow, as of this week, we haven't had much snow here in Cambridge.
Yeah, we had a surprise yesterday. We had lots, a little bit of freezing rain to pack it all down. And then when I woke up this morning, it was raining, but it was all slushy and gross. So
yeah, exactly.
It did a safe drive home.
Well, that's good. So you have a really interesting job. You are psychic medium and Irish mystic. What does that mean?
The mystic part, someone told me about 20 years ago that she felt I was a mystic and I wasn't even sure what it was. But the more I looked into it, the more it described all the different things that I am and tap into. So a mystic, I feel, is someone who does a lot of connecting with earth-based teachings, tapping into anything that brings home for them or resonates with them in truth. So you might want to develop your psychic intuition, but you may not want to be a practicing psychic, but it awakens the mystic within. So it's usually, and men won't like this, but with women that I train, it's mainly women. The mystic is about bringing forth the feminine goddess. And with the men, it brings forth more of the warrior within. Mm-hmm. And because I'm Irish, we grew up in school being trained in, and we didn't even realize, being taught a lot of Celtic mythology and Celtic teachings, along with the Catholic stuff. And it resonated with me a lot more than the Catholic stuff. However, I had this invisible friend, people called him, called Jesus, and he kind of would keep me on the straight and narrow as well. So a mystic kind of lets you put everything that you are under one umbrella. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Yeah. The Celtic mythology, that stuff's so interesting when you hear about it.
Well, it really is. And we didn't even know what we were learning in school. We had no idea. But when they would start talking about some of the gods that we had and some of the warriors turning into creatures and shape-shifting and everything, I totally got that. I could jive with that a little bit easier than some of the other religion stuff that they were forcing down our throats.
Right. And it takes age sometimes to have a better appreciation for what was.
Yes, I feel. And I feel like when I left Ireland to come to Canada, that's when the appreciation actually started to come forward. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't appreciate my history teacher in high school, and anyone who knew me in school knew I was a wild thing. And the reason I was so wild was because I was dealing with hearing voices and seeing things, and I knew I was a little different. Instead of being a quiet recluse, I kind of acted out a little bit and was the wild one. When you are in school learning all about the politics of what happened in your country, because Ireland was still at war at the time, there was a civil war still going on, and I had no idea how much we learned until I came to Canada and they're asking me, so what's the bombs about? What's the wars about? Because I came in 89 when it was still quite active. And within the first week in Canada, I realized how valuable the history teaching was.
Yeah, Right.
Yeah, to my dismay, I owed the teacher a few pints. I got to tell him, though. I did meet him, and we had a pint, and I told him that I had no appreciation back then, but as someone in her 30s, she sure did. And it was the same with the Celtic mythology.
At what point did you realize, when you were hearing things and seeing things, that you were connecting with, may I say, the other side? Or do you have a different explanation for that?
Well, I'll call it spirit world, the other side, whatever. I call it a few different things. The woohoo, I call it a lot. I had a grandmother who had what they call the gift, and she did tea leaves and stuff. So it was not unusual to walk into her house and her to say, oh, I had a dream of my mother last night and she was giving me white roses, and to explain what it meant. So I kind of grew up in that. But it was when I went to school, I realized that the others couldn't see some of the people that I could see. And I just started feeling weird about it. There was no words for it. And that's why I like working with kids who are seeing things and feeling things, because I've been there, done it. And there was one girl in that classroom, and it's still to this day, I think of her often about a lesson I learned in there about other people and picking up their energy. And I was only 5. So it's been a while. And I was about 7 and a half, I think, when my grandmother and I were out for a walk, and we met a neighbor whose mother had died, and we were talking about it. And well, they were talking about it, and I was listening, and she was crying, and I was confused because I could see her standing right there with us. And I spoke up and I said, well, don't be crying. Like, she's right here. She's telling me to tell you that she's right here. Freaked her out. I was 7. You know, this was back in the 70s. It spooked her a little bit. And on the way home, back down the road, I remember my grandmother saying, I think you should wish a little bit about that, like wait till you're a bit older. And in Ireland, wished means like shh, almost like a secret. Put it on hold, that kind of a thing. And I did. And that kind of changed as I was a teenager. I was in some precarious situations, and guides would get me out of there, and I would leave. And then after I left, stuff would happen. But I wasn't tapped in until my grandmother actually passed. And when she passed, there was no shutting it down then. That was just the year before I came to Canada.
And what did she pass away from?
She had a stroke. She had a stroke on the Tuesday. And that even was odd, because I was living in Dublin at the time, and I lived about 40 minutes outside of Dublin. It's where I grew up, Ashbourne County Meath. It's the royal county where all the castles and kings and queens lived. So there's castles everywhere, but they call our County Meath the royal county. I usually came home on a Wednesday night because Thursday was my day off, and I'd hang out with my parents and have dinner, and we'd just do whatever families do. And on the Tuesday, I got the feeling, I need to go home. I need to go home tonight. And as I walked in the door, my mum and dad had just got the call, and we all headed off to the hospital. And she was in quite a bad state that night. And that was the first time, funny you ask about that situation, because I don't talk about it often, but it was the first time I experienced telepathy with her. And I think it's because I had no choice. She couldn't speak. We probably had it around the house and didn't even know. Like, you don't notice sometimes. Do you notice that with your animals? Sometimes you think something, especially dogs. If you're thinking, I'll give them this treat, they're there.
Yeah, I always actually turn that around the other way and say it, because I've got cats that they're trying to control my brain, because yeah, they'll sit there and stare at you until you do what they wanted you to do.
Exactly. And that's what they're about. We got to the hospital, and my aunt and cousins and everyone was there, and we all got a turn to go in with her alone. And I went in, and I, at this point, we knew she couldn't speak. I said that to her. I said, I know you can't speak, but don't be scared. Like, we can understand what you're saying. And she said things to me, and I repeated them back, and a little tear just went down there, and you could see her kind of relaxing a bit. She passed on the following Saturday. She gave my aunt time to come home from Italy, and she died with every person who ever mattered there. One of the guys who went, he had cycled 20 miles to go visit her to say goodbye.
Wow.
She was so cool. Yeah, she was cool. Bridie Murphy was her name before she got married. So then she was Bridget Farrell. But when she passed, was also my first experience of seeing someone die and someone leave the body, which was really cool. And I had no fear of it. And even when we were in the mortuary afterwards, saying goodbye, I had no fear to sit, you know, to reach down and hug her and kiss her. And my other cousins were kind of spooked about it. And I said, it just feels wet from people's tears. Other than that, she's fine. So I had this weird understanding of death within moments. It was weird, really. But wonderful, weird and wonderful.
It is a beautiful experience, but it doesn't feel beautiful when people are going through it, for sure.
No, not when it's your own loved one. So I've worked a lot in palliative care over the years and with private families, and there's a great honor to being there. I'll cry every time, even if I don't know the people at all. I know the families and whatever, but it's all different. Nearly all of them have the same experience, though. But everyone is different, of course.
In what way would it be the same?
I see them all being reunited with loved ones and friends and people that they're even surprised to see there. Later on in years, when I started working in cold cases and stuff, there was one or two experiences that kind of took me back when I saw someone who had been murdered waiting to greet the person who had killed them. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be karma and vengeance. And was I ever wrong? It was mind-boggling.
For listeners, Fiona has been asked by, I believe it's the OPP and RCMP, over the years to work on cold cases.
Yeah, I contacted them first with a local active case, and I knew they would probably think I was a weirdo. And I noticed the cars sitting outside watching, because I might have known more details than the average person knew. But the first phone call was successful, and I reach out to them, but I've also had them reach out to me, and a lot of families. So that's something I'd like to do a lot more of. When you have gifts like this, might as well use them.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Bring peace to families.
Really, this whole idea for this podcast is to help people to know that they're not alone and to hopefully find a soothing message in the grief journey of others, because it's not an easy experience, for sure.
No.
Do you have experiences of speaking with your own personal loved ones, or you mostly are working with others beyond your grandma?
Both. There was a few years ago, 3.5 years ago, I had the most horrific year. And for 9 months in a row, I lost a very close friend. And towards the end of it, I realized I was becoming almost numb to it. And I didn't know if it was because I had put up so many shields or protection, or if I was just realizing, you know what, they're only like a thought away from me. And the last one was a lifelong friend, and it was kind of mind-boggling, like I said, how it all happened. But at the same time, I think my grief blocked me with that one. And there was a funny situation. I was teaching a mediumship class. Even as I'm talking about it, my throat is getting a little lump in it. So I was teaching a medium class that was on the next day. And I remember saying, you know what, 364 days and I haven't heard from you. I'm doing a mediumship class tomorrow. You better speak up. And I was joking, right? Kind of with a bit of attitude. I'm getting a cup of coffee ready and the girls are sitting around the table. And next thing one of them says, do you know, she said his name. And I said, oh my God, he's here. And she said, well, he's saying 365 days and you haven't been listening to him, nothing new. Oh, I'm like, okay, here we go. The girls that I was actually supposed to be training did the reading and channeled him. And it was kind of cool because they realized how much they had actually learned and how much he brought them forward. So it worked nicely that way. But yes, I have what I call my council. And I have the friends and guides from all over the place, but all the friends that have passed. I've lost 5 friends who are also mediums and psychics. So that can be an experience in itself.
I think that we can get messages from people, even if they weren't psychic or mediums, as long as we're open to receiving it.
I've had a harder time with the people who are working as mediums and psychics. I've had a harder time connecting with them than people who have no abilities or didn't believe in it even. So a lot of the times I'll have people in readings who didn't believe in this stuff in life, but when they pass, they realize, oh, this is a way to let everyone know I'm okay.
If you were to give someone advice on how to do that, obviously this is a training that you would normally do to teach someone how to channel, but what would some advice be to be able to connect in some fashion with the other side?
The easiest thing to do and the safest thing to do for me, I find, and I tell people to do it all the time, is to get a candle and light the candle and imagine you're the wick in the center of that candle. And as you watch it burning, the first few minutes, you'll feel almost anxious and nervous, but allow the flame to clear your energy and continuously cover you in safety and white light and the colors of the flame. And you almost go into a trance. Have you ever done a candle meditation? You probably have done many of them. Mm-hmm. So if anyone's ever done it, they know that kind of woozy feeling you get. And when you can feel your shoulders and your breath changing, that's when you say, okay, now can this little light expand and bring in a loved one for me to connect with? And if you put a picture of them there beside you, you'll feel it. It works very quickly. There's another little thing called the Onra, and it's called the breath. And you imagine that flame in the candle is in between the two of us. So even now, when we're doing this, just imagine it. And then you imagine the flame going around your body, back into the center of the flame, and then around my body and into the flame. Do you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a little flicker in your heart. So the more you do that, the more you connect. So you connect to the breath of life and the heart-to-heart connection. You know, I suggest some Kleenex because it can be quite emotional because you'll feel them, you'll smell them. The more you do it, the more you experience. The simplest way.
There's a little synchronicity here because I just taught this whole figure eight movement today in yoga. So when you're saying this figure eight, it's just, I'm going, look at the universe. Isn't it funny?
Yes, the infinity symbol.
If someone were grieving right now, what advice would you give them?
Oh gosh, I do it every day of the week. The most important thing is take care of yourself. Look after self-care. Remember that you're not alone. Remember that they are not anywhere away from you. It's almost like dialing into a radio station, just turning that dial until you can feel. And then ask for signs. I apparently have someone knocking on my door. I'm going to ignore it. I'm not expecting anyone.
Well, you said ask for a sign. Maybe that's your sign. If someone was feeling like they were receiving a message from the loved one, how should they trust that message? Am I just making this up, or is that actually that person? Is there some way to confirm that maybe?
Sometimes you'll hear it in your own voice. That's more likely something you want to hear. When it's someone else trying to connect with you, the majority of times, everyone's different, but the majority of time, I notice that you'll hear it in another voice or in their voice that you're familiar with. That's the easiest thing I can say. You can also ask your body. You can be a body pendulum. If you're sitting up straight, you can ask a question that you know the answer to that's a definite yes. And ask the question and watch what your body does. A lot of the time, your body will kind of go forward. And it's similar to when you use a pendulum. And then if the answer is no, you'll feel your body kind of tilting back. I'll do that. I'll say, is that an authentic message when I'm doing readings? And I'll get a yes or a no with the body. You can do it standing up. It's even more noticeable when you're standing up. But even when you're sitting talking about it, you can feel it going back and forth.
I actually have used that technique usually with food. I'll do muscle testing for food.
Yeah, same thing. I do it when I'm buying raspberries and strawberries and blueberries. I just put my hand over it and I'll get that feeling. But the body pendulum, I really like.
Especially gives you a definite yes or a definite no, because it would throw you right back. Does my body want this? And you get tossed away from it. No, I don't think so.
And like today, I had three signs. My friend and I went out for breakfast. And my first intuition was, we'll have time. Everything will be fine. But there was three places I wanted to stop on the way. And as we were approaching, I said, no, I just heard not to go in there, not today. So we went right to where we were going. And again, on the way back, no, I heard not to do that. Third time, I said, oh, I've already decided not to do that. That's three of them. And we laughed about it. And that's when we hit all the really bad slush because they hadn't had plows and whatever, especially when you hear things three times. So if you're asking a loved one for a message of some kind, ask for it three times. Sometimes someone will say, I haven't seen a red truck in a while. I'll ask for a red truck. Well, there's lots of red trucks out there. But if you haven't seen one for a while, then you can take that as a sign. But the majority of signs are people finding dimes, feathers, and of course, birds. But if they think they're hearing voices, then ask for clarity with the voice and say, if that's you, show me a dime. Follow up with it, asking for another sign. Make them work for it. It's easier for them to connect with us than it is for us to accept that they can. And I think that's the trick.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think people often question that they're either making things up, or I know my dad just recently had an experience of feeling like he was being touched when he was seated and he felt that like a hand on his shoulder, and he thought, I'm just losing it. I'm spending too much time by myself. But I really don't believe that. I think he probably did have that hand on his shoulder, and
he probably had someone saying, get out, you're spending too much time by yourself.
I'm going to pass that along.
We don't even realize, he doesn't realize, but it's brought him you know, sometimes we have to understand that our parents won't accept all of this. It's, they don't get it. It's frightening, whatever. You have to kind of step back and say, if that's how he's going to process the message, at least he's getting the message.
For sure.
Like you and I would say, okay, I get it. I'm seeing nobody. I need to get out and do something. But whereas your dad, the message might be, well, I'm imagining things now, so I need to get out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, he's getting the message.
Yeah, I was going to say, it comes to the same end. In the end, it's still the same result. If somebody wanted to find you online, Fiona, where would you direct them?
I would direct them probably to the Facebook at the moment. There's the Healing House School page, and then there's my personal page, and there's a few other little business pages on the side. The website is thehealinghouseschool.ca. There is lots of information on there. There's some services that I'm cutting down and new ones I'm adding in. So,
very good. And I noticed one day you were doing a meditation. Do you do that quite often on that page too? People might.
Yeah. Yes, I used to do a daily smudge, and this was something that I do every day in life. And for the new year last year, I said, I'm going to do a daily smudge online. It'll make me do it in the morning, and maybe it'll get a few other people. And it was hugely successful. I had other people sitting with their smudge and everything ready to go and clear their energy and get going for the day. And I stopped doing it in the summer, and I fell off the wagon. And I also fell off the wagon doing it for myself. I'm going to be a good girl and start doing that again in the new year. I'll do a daily smudge and a daily meditation. But the Healing House School page, it has a lot of different meditations, drumming journeys, all kinds of different things.
Nice. So just before we let you go, could you speak a little bit about smudging and grieving? What would somebody use? Smudging and grieving.
Because smudging clears your energy on all kinds of levels, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and mentally. And it'll clear your mind. Once you experience a good smudge, as we say, you see and you feel the benefits of it. So you can do whatever you like. You can use an incense and just have it burning in the room with your intention being that it clears your energy. Or you can get the smudge. I think I have some here. And you wouldn't need anything like this. This is a bag of smudge. I have some over here in a teacup as well. Oh, I can't show you. I'm showing Tammy. Here we go. So there's the smudge there. And that would give you a really good body smudge. It's about the size of, I'd say half the size of the palm of your hand. Put it in a fire-safe container and light it with a match. It is suggested that you do it with a match instead of a lighter. That's how I was trained. And then you start to pray as you bring up the smoke, you bring it up into your eyes to help you see your truth and see clarity and perhaps see spirit, whatever your intentions are. And then you can bring it up to your ears to heal any harsh words that you've heard, any verbal abuse you've experienced, or just wanting to be able to tap into spirit a little bit more. Then you bring it up to your mouth to help you with discernment and what to say, what not to say. And then to the throat as well, it helps you deliver your message. You can bring it to your hair because that's where your spirit lies. And if you wear glasses like we do, you should smudge your glasses. Winston trained me also to remove any jewelry or any metal from my body and smudge them. You can put them back on right away after. But I find that the days I smudge first thing, my days are different, completely different. So when it comes to grief, you can smudge and ask that the emotions and detachment and the aloneness and the separateness to be released from you and open up the connection where you feel their presence of their spirit. And you can have a smudge spray. Not everyone likes the smell of white sage. You can use a spray. You can use herbs. You can use incense, like I said. And again, it's all your intention. You can also just walk around a room and ask that the energy in the house be cleared. But when it's your own personal energy and something as intense as grief, I would suggest a ritual at least once a day where you smudge, if not twice. I would do it in the morning so that the day is easier to deal with. And then the loneliness sometimes for a lot of people comes, especially when it's a spouse that they've lost. The loneliness is in the evening. So smudge before you go to bed, make it part of your preparation so you can sleep a bit better. And invite them in your dreams if that's what you want. A lot of people will go to bed and give them 15 minutes or so to kind of visit when they're laying in bed. And then time's over. Let me sleep. You can do that too.
Well, that's all really great advice. Thank you for that. And definitely Folks, if you're interested in learning more on how to do that smudging, you can contact Fiona at Healing House on Facebook.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Good. Thank you so much for spending some time with us, Fiona, and for being able to come after your crazy drive home. Hopefully that's the last of those kind of drives, but we know beginning of the winter, it's probably the first.
Yeah, it's probably just the first. And I think the first one's always the scariest thing.
That's right, until we get used to it again.
Exactly.
For sure. So thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
We are so grateful for our guests for sharing their time with us and sharing their experiences. It's wonderful to know that we're not alone, and it's so great to hear that even though our loved ones have passed, that they are still here with connections, albeit different from before. Be sure to subscribe and to share this podcast. If you have an experience that you'd like to share, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Please email me. We're also grateful to Kevin McLeod and to Computech for sharing this wonderful background music entitled Happy Dreams. Thank you for sharing your time with us. May you enjoy your time still being here.